Brett said, this is our final week looking at the book of Proverbs, looking at this idea of wisdom, biblical wisdom, and applying it to our daily lives. And like we've been talking about the last few weeks, we every day face so many choices. We live in a culture of choice. What do you want to do? Never in the history of time has anyone ever had more choices to make in their lives. And never before have we needed wisdom so much more because of all of these decisions that we will inevitably come across. So 2 weeks ago, we looked at kind of getting our understanding of what biblical wisdom is, and we found this definition: competence with regard to the realities of life. Wisdom helps you become competent as you deal and navigate with the realities that we face in life. And then last week we looked at how to develop wisdom. We looked at the space, the vehicles, the catalyst for acquiring wisdom on that path. That proverb says that the wisdom of the Lord will make straight our path, right? As we walk this path of life, how do we get this wisdom? And so tonight, to close out, I want to dive right back in to the book of Proverbs as we finish out this Wisdom in Life series. And we're going to look at the three characteristics. So we've been working through the beginning of Proverbs. We've been in 1, we've been in chapter 3. And now as we get into chapter 4, we're going to find there are three characteristics of a wise life. And as hopefully I've said, and hopefully we've heard and we've learned as we've been looking at the book of Proverbs, that what we're not going to do and what we haven't done is look to what Proverbs is saying and find a blueprint of how to live wise lives, right? Doesn't say do this, then do this, then do this, and then you will become wise, right? The whole premise of the book of Proverbs is to kind of synthesize this idea of biblical wisdom, which is knowing when to apply God's word in the gray areas of life, not in the black and white scenarios that are purposefully and specifically laid out in other places in the Bible. But the whole point of Proverbs is trying to teach you how to think, how to be wise, biblical wisdom, wise. And so these three characteristics of a wise life, it's not the end all be all, it's not do this, do that, do this, but they're just kind of helpful signposts along the way that Proverbs is leaving for us to look out for and to look towards as we head on through our lives. And so these three characteristics that we're gonna look at a wise life entails glorious fight. It entails a guarded heart, and it entails a gracious word. So that first one, glorious fight, we'll look at Proverbs chapter 4, verses 5 through 9. He writes this: get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her. She will keep you, love you, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. Proverbs is often getting into the poetic, right? There are entire chapters that are written in Hebrew poetry. And so as we read through this section of Proverbs, it's, again, like I said, it's not going to be a very specific blueprint of how to become biblically wise. But there are clues, there are signposts. And the first one is that we need, in a wise life, to have glorious fight. And what does that mean? A determination of will, right? In here, there are literally fighting words, but not the fighting that we're thinking of when you hear that. So you see get so many times here. Get wisdom, get insight, get wisdom, get. It's in there like 4 or 5 times. And this word, the Hebrew word that we're reading as get, is literally translated to purchase, but not just to buy anything, but a costly purchase. This is the language of sacrifice. In this glorious fight towards wisdom, there will be sacrifice. We see the word forsake, which means to let go of, language of restlessness It's not just enough. We have to forsake things and also seek things out. There's this metaphor at the end of this section of seeking someone to marry, right? And they will protect you. There's a language of passion and pursuit in this glorious fight towards wisdom. And then jumping ahead in chapter 4, we get to verses 18 and 19. And they say this, "But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble." And as time goes on, like we learned, like we talked about last week, that this is a process towards wisdom. It's not 2 weeks and now you're wise. It's not do these four things and now you're wise. It is a lifelong goal, a lifelong process. And as time goes on, a wise person gets more peaceful, gets more clarity, not confusion and darkness. Like this says, the wicked person stumbles in the darkness and they do not even know over what they stumble. Proverbs tells us that wisdom is a fight, a glorious fight. But why? Why does it take such a determination of will to seek out biblical wisdom? Because of all the things that we've already learned, and I'm not going to list everything, but because we are naturally foolish, right? We talked about how we're not wired for wisdom. It's something that must be acquired so that we can properly deal with the realities of life that we face. It's hard. We have to go against our natural foolish ways. It is a fight, Proverbs tells us. And wisdom is a process, right? We're not trying to become wise in our own eyes. We're trying to find a community of people around us that are wise. We're trying to look, understand and learn and get to know God's words so we can be wise in this community's eyes that knows God's word, that we can be wise in God's eyes and hopefully never be found to be wise in our own. Wisdom is a process. And in these two verses right here, it's like the morning sun, right? The sun rises, it gets brighter and brighter as it goes throughout the sky. It is a glorious fight because wisdom is choosing to believe God's story over the world's story. The world tells us a lot of things are open, right? We have a lot of choices. There might be a God, but there also might not be. There might be an afterlife, there might not be. And so we have to get happiness now, any way we can, because this could be it, right? So why not live like this is it? I imagine it like, it's like the world is telling us that we live in a house, like we have a house, we own it, it is ours. Now we gotta fill this house with all of the things that make us happy, that we want. We just need to stuff this house full of stuff while we're here, because eventually us and the stuff are gonna be gone. But God's story is different, right? God tells us that he is real, that there is a renewing of the world coming and with which we can spend glorious eternity with him. It's like right now, we are not in the house, but we are merely standing at the front door of the most amazing mansion you have ever been to. And God's promise is that you have a place inside that house. We're not at a point where this is it. This is only the beginning. That's God's story. Whose story will we believe? It affects every decision that we make, every choice that we come across needs wisdom because it is a fight towards God's glory, towards wisdom. The second characteristic of a wise life is a guarded heart. So just after the 18 and 19 with the nice sunrise metaphor and the darkness metaphor, we get verse 20. It says this, "My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life." And now we're reading this, and this is not a modern understanding of what the heart is, right? It's not a modern understanding. I think if we were all going to assign descriptions to the heart, right, there would be emotion, right? We would give emotion to the heart and thought, logic, reasoning to the brain. I think of all of these movies about like AI uprisings, right? And the machines taking over the world. And it's always because the machines are more logical. They're more thought through. They have the perfect brain, and they don't have that emotion stuff holding them back. And yet in all of these movies, it's the humans with the courage and the bravery and the heart and the emotion that puts an end to them. And we put this idea of the heart is emotional and the brain is the thought, reason, logic piece, and we separate the two. And the Bible does not do that. The Bible mentions that the heart is not just for emotion, not just for feelings, but it talks of thinking with the heart, with acting from the heart. In verse 23, right here, it says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. Everything flows from the heart. And why? The heart is the seat of fundamental beliefs of what we must have for a joyful life. What we hold in our hearts, what we truly could look inside and say, this is what we are guarding within our heart, is the thing that we believe will bring us joy in life. What the heart chooses, everything flows from. Guarded hearts are essential to wisdom, and it's not just the guarding, right? Before you guard it, we gotta think about what it is that we're guarding. Which brings us to the third characteristic of a wise life, gracious words. If we go back to verse 20, 21 and 22 here, one more time, my son, be attentive to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, let them not escape from your sight, keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. Proverbs is written from the perspective of a teacher to student, right? It's always my son, my child. It's a teaching perspective. And often we find these phrases that we see here, like mind my words, hear my words, protect my words. And these words are taking the principles of God's law and bringing them down and applying them into daily life. The words of the Bible, right? You could read this as the words of the Bible, put them into your heart, guard them. Verse 22 says, life to those who find them. And how do you decide what makes it into your heart, right? As much as we say it's a choice, we can just decide what we put in there. It's our experiences, our beliefs, the words that we hear around us. You know, I feel like a lot of you, everyone probably knows the saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It's not true. Words are powerful. And to a great degree, our self-image and words that we believe in our heart are affected by the words of people say around us. Right? That's why, like we talked about last week, having a community around you is so important. And so on the one hand, we take these words that Proverbs says and we keep them within our hearts, right? Not just Proverbs, but the whole Bible, all of God's word. And it can have a profound impact on becoming wise in our lives. But also we need more. We need a gracious word. We need a living word. We need Proverbs in the context of the whole Bible, not just picking and choosing where we're looking at, but looking at it all as one story. So if Proverbs is looking at the New Testament, or Old Testament, if we jump ahead to the New Testament, in John chapter 5, verses 39 and 40, we find Jesus talking to the Pharisees, and he says this to them. He says, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And if we stopped right there, this is exactly that idea of, right, taking God's word and putting it into our hearts. The scripture leads to eternal life. Boom, that's exactly on par with what we're seeing in Proverbs. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He goes on. He says, and it is they that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. The Bible has words of life, but we have to understand what it is all about. It is all about Jesus. I mentioned that Proverbs has a lot of sections where they're written in Hebrew poetry. And Proverbs chapter 8 is probably one of the more known accounts of that. And in chapter 8, it is a poetic telling of God creating the world. And like throughout much of Proverbs, we see wisdom is not just an idea, but a character, right? Wisdom has been personified. And in Proverbs chapter 8, we see wisdom and God coming together to create the world. And it's to show how God created the world in his wisdom, from his wisdom, with his wisdom, which is why it's important to seek out God's wisdom, right? That's kind of why it was written. But there's another more important reason for that. And we find that back at the beginning of John's gospel, John 1:1-5. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things that were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Right here, from the very beginning of John's gospel, he's putting together that piece that we see in Proverbs from what Jesus says himself later on in chapter 5 in the book of John. We see that Jesus is the wisdom of God because he is the living word of God. He is the word that if we can grasp and put into our hearts, that will lead us to a wise life, but it will lead us to an eternal life with him. Wisdom is knowledge applied, right? You can't just know something. You have to know how to apply that knowledge. You have to bring it out of its like hypothetical context and apply it into your daily life. Well, who is Jesus? Jesus is God, wisdom personified, applied, brought down to earth, put into our context. He is not an abstract idea, but the living word of God brought down to us, wisdom embodied in human form. And we talked 2 weeks ago about the Apostle Paul writing about the Greeks and the Romans seeing Jesus on the cross as ultimate foolishness. If he were wise, they said, he wouldn't be killed like that, or he wouldn't be killed at all. In fact, fools, they say, are always being punished because they deserve it, or because they're too foolish to avoid that punishment. Now, Jesus was wisdom embodied, and yet he took our place, the place of the foolish. To know that he died for me, for you, for all of us, to have that be what we are guarding within our hearts should move you to believe, to trust, to love him. And it's the words and the living words together that change our heart. The wise life, this search for wisdom, is characterized by a glorious fight, a guarded heart, and a love and belief in the gracious living word of God, Jesus Christ. Only through Jesus, wisdom brought to earth in human form, can we get our hearts back from our own foolishness and endeavor towards finding wisdom in our lives. So tonight in small groups, it's kind of a hodgepodge of the last 3 weeks put together, looking at this idea of not just what are the points that I just said and repeat them back and now we can go play nine square, but hopefully it's applying some of the things that Proverbs talks about that we see in John, that we see throughout the entire Bible, this idea of seeking out wisdom in our lives. So let me pray and then we'll head out for a small group. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this opportunity to dive into your word, to see that the Bible is not just an old book, but it has connective threads throughout that all point towards you, towards the fact that you came to earth, wisdom embodied in human flesh, not because it was the quote unquote wise thing to do, but because you are ultimate wisdom and took the place of us, ultimate fools. Jesus, we love you so much for that. And we ask that you be with each and every one of us as we continue to talk about this in small groups. Go with us and bring us safety throughout our travels for spring break next week. But most importantly, give us the eyes to see and the ears to hear you at work, not just here on Thursday nights, not just on Sunday mornings, but every day, in every decision, in every choice that comes across us as we try to navigate down this path of life. Jesus, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you. And all God's people said, amen.